Our reading today has been from Acts chapter 10, starting to read at verse 9. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts be pleasing to you this day and always. Amen. I wonder if you've ever heard something in conversation that has made you say, "I beg your pardon?" The thing you thought you heard was so surprising that you supposed you must have got the wrong end of the stick. Our story today contains exactly that kind of moment. God reveals a truth to Peter that so surprises him that he's got to tell him three times. You might remember Peter has a habit of needing to be told repeatedly when something is important. I've taught many young men like that. This interlude in the life of the early church happens whilst Peter is where we left him last week, in Joppa, now known as Tel Aviv. But the other main character in the story, Cornelius, is 30 miles away, north in Caesarea. As we read, it's important to remember that in those days Rome ruled the world with absolute power and brutal force. Cornelius is a Roman soldier, the first Roman we get to know in the early church, actually. He's an officer in that army that everyone so feared the world over. And Caesarea is a garrison town. In fact, Herod the Great built it up to make trade pass through it so that he could collect a nice fat revenue of tax, because the Roman Empire utterly depended on the grain shipped through it from Egypt. It's a nice place for the governor's house. The weather's warm and it's by the sea, all very acceptable for an Italian going somewhere in his career. You can imagine it was a very desirable posting for a military man. A centurion such as Cornelius would be an officer with 100 men under his command, a trusted soldier stationed then in a key port in a strategic zone. I think we're building up a picture of a significant person, not a nobody. With probably quite a commanding presence, I would think. My German teacher at school was just such a middle-ranking military man in his day, and I can tell you when he said move, we jumped. But we are told more about Cornelius. We're told he's kind and generous, and he's a man of prayer, a seeker after God. But importantly, he is not a Jew. So whilst he's praying one day, God sends an angel to speak to him. This military man is afraid of the angel, but he need not have been. The angel tells him his prayers have been heard by God. He has taken note and Cornelius should send for Peter. Isn't it interesting that because Cornelius, who doesn't yet know God, sets time aside to pray and seek after him, it allows God to speak to him. I suspect we could all learn from that sequence of events. Do we set time aside regularly to seek after God and look for his direction in our lives? A habit of prayer opens our heart to allow us to hear from God. The angel tells Cornelius to send for Peter, who's a day and a half away. He's a military man who knows all about following orders, so he sends two servants and a soldier to make contact with this Peter. Down in Joppa, about the same time, Peter is also trying to pray, but he's a bit hungry. He goes up on the roof for some quiet space while they make his lunch. He has a dream of all sorts of animals coming down on a sheet from the sky. All sorts of things you might want to eat. And a lot that you really wouldn't if you were a Jew. Jews were not allowed to eat all sorts of things. We know about pork, but there's a very long list of other things in Leviticus 11. It was a list that really set Jews apart from other people groups. Quite a difficult diet to manage, not like other nations. So they couldn't just go around for a meal with their neighbours. In fact, Judaism prohibited Jews from eating in the company of non-Jews, as it would make them unclean. In no small part, because of these rules, there was a considerable amount of prejudice against them. And in their turn, they were prejudiced against people who didn't live in the right kind of way and keep their rules. Prejudice, prejudging people, does a lot of harm. I wonder if we prejudge people sometimes. Do we assume a person will not want to know about God because they're young or listen to loud music? Are we suspicious of those who have a different colour of skin or speak a different language? Do we quietly think less of people because they worship in a way that is different to our practice? Peter is shocked at the suggestion that he should eat anything he likes. He's so scandalised he tells God he wouldn't dream of it. Can you imagine God shaking his head and saying, "Okay, Peter, let's run through that again. And again." Eventually, Peter hears God's message that what he has made clean, Peter should not make unclean. In other words, he should not be so exclusive or bound by ancient rules. I wonder if we are ever so determined that we're right that we struggle to hear an alternative thought when God presents it. Peter wakes up and is wondering what that dream was all about when there's a knock at the door. I wonder what he thought when he opened it to a crowd headed up by a Roman soldier. Remember, in those days, the early church was being persecuted for their faith, murdered even. This Roman contingent could have him thrown into prison, or worse. The Holy Spirit gives him courage, and he receives all three men into his home and accepts their invitation to join them on a visit to Joppa. Incredibly, he puts them up for the night, and the next day he travels with them to see the unknown Roman centurion. Sometimes, as we try to listen to God and follow him closely, it can feel a bit scary. We can never be totally sure we've understood correctly and done the right thing. The proof of the pudding, as they say, is in the eating. You've got to set out and give it a go. He had at least a day's travel to wonder if he'd made the right choice. Cornelius prayed, and then he expected something to happen. I wonder if we do. He had sent for Peter, then he gathered people ready to listen to him when he arrived. He was inclined to worship him. I suppose it was the only way he knew how to respond. It must have been tempting for Peter to grasp a little control, to take the power offered, to welcome this powerful man's good opinion. But this new freedom from old rules doesn't mean anything goes. In great humility, Peter is having none of it. He points to Jesus as the author of our salvation and the giver of life. God's message to Peter is all about inclusivity, not prejudging others. The law was God's word to God's people in a particular context. It had a certain purpose for that period of time. But in the light of Christ and all that he gave us, he invites us to think differently. God invites us all, just as we are, and leads us all to repentance, forgiveness and transformation as we receive Jesus as Saviour and friend. And then he fills us with the power of the Holy Spirit. These men are the epitome of their own community. They embodied the lives and extremes of each people group. Yet they both loved God. They listened to him and had the courage to engage with someone who appeared to come from an opposing cultural position. God has broken down barriers of prejudice in both communities and turned the world on its head. Cornelius and Peter could not be more different kinds of people. That temple that we heard of in Jerusalem, the only place where God could be honoured, is being made redundant. We're invited to worship him in our hearts, whoever we are, in repentance and faith. We're invited to welcome Jesus into our very own hearts and worship. That's just what happened to Cornelius and his household, just as it had to the disciples on the day of Pentecost. Jesus is Lord of all, no longer just God of the Jews, but Saviour of all who will turn to him. It is an account of a significant moment in the history of the early church, but with real lessons for us to learn today. Both men made time to pray, to listen to God. Both men were obedient and courageously stepped out to do what they believed God wanted of them. And because they did, because they looked with expectant eyes for God at work, they saw his hand moving powerfully in unexpected ways, and the kingdom grew because of their faithful obedience. It's good to remember God doesn't show favouritism. God inspired change of perspective often takes courage, and it's not always easy. But if we make space to hear his voice, and if we look expectantly to see him at work, we can be sure that his kingdom will grow in us and through us. Let's pray that as a community, we have the humility and the courage to live like Peter and Cornelius, to listen to God closely, and to welcome all whom he draws to himself, whether we think they're like us or not. Amen.